conservative values from an Iraq war vet. Welcome to the Chaos Reduction. Here's Jay.
Hello, and guess who's back? By popular demand. Well, at least in my own head, popular demand. You are listening to the Chaos Reduction with Jay. I, of course, am Jay. I want to thank you for sticking with me through my October sabbatical that I needed to take. It was a relaxing time, but getting started again is just so difficult sometimes, I think. But hey, I'm back, and we've got great conservative content for you. And we got a lot to talk about, of course. The Democrats, with their un-American behavior, is just getting to an all-time high, right? This impeachment effort just doesn't stop. And President Trump is still managing to do great things, even though the Democrats are behaving as expected. Okay, so the first thing I want to address is the great effort by our Special Forces troops and what a wonderful job they did in taking out Ali Bakr al-Baghdadi, the former leader of ISIS. That was a great job. And then, on top of everything else, in a separate raid, they take out the guy who's going to take his place. So that's a two-for-one right there. Great job by those guys. And credit isn't being given to President Trump, of course, either, because the Democrats can't give him a win at any cost. Just can't have it. No way, no how. So I'll say it, and I know I speak on behalf of all my faithful, wonderful President Trump-supporting friends when I say great job to the president on that. That being said, let's dive into this this impeachment narrative stuff that we've got, okay? I'm going to start out with a statement today, and I want you to keep this in mind as you're listening to me tear down this narrative, okay? The Democrats are counting on, not only do they want you to be, not only do they think you are, they're counting on you to be stupid. Okay, that's the fact. They are counting on you to be stupid. When I say that, what I mean is you obviously have eyes. You have a brain that can discern information. But they want you, despite what you hear, despite what you see, despite what you think, they want you to take it from them instead of doing your own research and coming up with your own opinions. If you look at it, the tactics that the left are using with this phone call to the Ukrainian president, to President Zelensky, they are mirroring that of the Russia hoax. Okay, we're getting all kinds of the same projection. This, the Democrats do something illegal, and then they say President Trump did it. Okay, this is just more of the same. They want you to not pay attention to the facts. They want you to think President Trump did something nefarious and ignore their own misdeeds. So, for example, they want you to think that the DNC didn't solicit Ukraine for help with the 2016 election. Okay, that's completely false. You and I both know that. We know that John Solomon, an excellent reporter, he interviewed Ukrainian officials, and they told him that DNC operative and basically overall sleazebag Alexandria Chalupa attempted to obtain dirt on Trump and on Paul Manafort. Why? Well, that's easy. Because they wanted Congress to do an inquiry into the Trump campaign even before the election. That's the way they wanted this to go. That was their whole plan. They wanted to take Trump out before he could get any momentum or any type of following of people, build any kind of base or anything like that. You know, for somebody that was supposed to lose so handedly, right? Like, what was it? 92% was the last poll right before the election. That 92% were going to vote for Hillary Clinton and like 6% to Trump or something. For someone who was supposed to win the election so handedly, they sure were worried, weren't they? I mean, they were doing all this Oppo research and trying to bury President Trump for things that he didn't do, obviously. They were really, really worried. Now, doesn't stuff like that sound like what they're accusing President Trump of? Colluding with a foreign nation or conspiring, you know, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. The fact of the matter is they have been out to get President Trump since he rode down that escalator, folks. You and I both know it. Now, let's take Joe Biden again. Let's talk about Joe Biden for a minute, okay? Joe Biden would have you believe that when he got the Ukrainian prosecutor fired, it was because he was corrupt and not because he was looking into Burisma Holdings, which is the company, obviously, that his son was on the board of. And he calls this a debunked conspiracy theory. That's what Joe Biden calls this. That's his words, not mine. First off, it is in no way a conspiracy theory. We have the fool on tape saying that he did this, right? Right. It's not my eyes. I know I've seen it. Okay. So that's there. And I love when he says debunked. He acts like this has been investigated or it's been looked into by somebody. Who looked into this exactly, Joe? Who? Who debunked this theory? Who came up with the, this never happened, this wasn't nefarious? Right. This is a joke. It has to be a joke because that is what Joe Biden would have you believe. The fact is, and we're only sticking to facts here, of course, is that Joe Biden, don't forget now, he received warning from the New York Times in December 2015 that Prosecutor General Shulkin was in fact investigating Burisma Holdings. And when he later testified, he said that he was going to investigate the entire board. He was going to question everybody on it. So we knew that. He testified in a European court. And all of this under penalty of perjury, Secretary Shulkin had said, President Poroshenko ultimately told Shulkin that he was being asked to resign because Biden wasn't happy with his investigation of Burisma. Now, either way, whether Joe had good or bad intentions, we have ethics rules in this country. And that's something, again, that Democrats only like to enforce when we're talking about Republicans. But we do have ethics rules. And they say very clearly that any elected official has to avoid the appearance of a conflict of interest. Joe Biden knew well that his son worked for Burisma. He was the point man on Ukraine under Obama. He knew damn well that there was a conflict of interest here. So the truth is it doesn't even matter. So he says that it was, you know, not because of his son. It was because the prosecutor was corrupt. Great, whatever. He does nothing to avoid the fact that there is an obvious looking appearance of a conflict of interest. Again, they'll tell you one thing against what you see with your own eyes and expect you to be dumb and believe them. So let's take it to the phone call between President Trump and President Zelensky. Again, now they want you to overlook the fact that President Trump released the transcript. That was the least expected thing that President Trump could have done. They had zero idea he was going to do that. When President Trump released the transcript of that call, he shot the Democrats' hopes and dreams right down the tubes. They still, even though you've seen the transcript and you know what was said in that conversation, and if you have half a brain, you know that there was no quid pro quo in that conversation, they still want you to believe that there is one. That's the way they work. Don't believe what you see. Believe what you hear only from us. So, according to the left, Trump should be impeached and Biden should be president after everything we just talked about, right? That's the way they roll. So here are the facts about the phone call. Now, these are things that you just have to know about the phone call. President Zelensky has said that he was not in any way pressured, pushed, or coerced to investigate Biden or the DNC server. Also, Ukraine didn't even know that their aid was being held up at the time of the call. And I'm going to come back to this later, but the call took place on the 25th of July this year. The Ukraine didn't even find out that the aid was being held up until almost completely a month later, at the end of August. Schiff had to rewrite this call when he's speaking in his committee by misquoting the president to make it sound even worse than anybody would assume the call to be. Now, why would he have to do that if, in fact, this call is just an obvious contempt of the president? No sense. And we know that a fake whistleblower met with at least Adam Schiff's staff prior to the filing of the complaint. And I got more on that coming. So when we get to that part, you're going to hear all about that. And we know that Schiff went on national TV and he lied about all of this. Okay, that's inexcusable. He has no excuse for why he went on national TV and lied all about it. So we're going to get to the whistleblower. But first, let's talk about why Nancy Pelosi has finally given in to the demands of the leftist radicals and decided to go after impeachment, even though the country vastly disapproves of it. Now, you got to look at this through Nancy Pelosi's eyes. She's not stupid. She's never been somebody that I thought was stupid. Nancy Pelosi is probably a very smart individual, and she knows when she's beat. That's the bottom line here. So Nancy has to make a choice. The one thing that she knows for a fact is that next term, she is not going to be Speaker of the House. There's no way. Okay? Now, here's why that is. She had a choice to make with going for impeachment or not going for impeachment, right? The squad, the AOCs, the Ilhan Omars, the Rashida Tlaibs have just been pushing for impeachment since day one, and they're not stopping, right? It turns out that Nancy Pelosi has a Democrat challenger running against her in 2020. And this person is a 44-year-old. They're quite a bit younger than Nancy. They're far more progressive. They've actually said that Nancy is being too soft on President Trump. And pretty sure that this could be an easy way to snatch the endorsement from the AOCs of the House right now. So Nancy has to make a choice. If she doesn't keep the AOC group of the party happy, then she's probably not going to get reelected. And if that happens, if she doesn't get reelected, then you have heard the last of Nancy Pelosi. Her political career is over, okay? So by going with impeachment, what happens? Well, she's got 31 Democrats that are completely vulnerable in the 2020 election. They are Democrats that are in control in Trump-electing districts. 31 of them. We only need 18 to flip the House. So she understands that by going after impeachment that the country doesn't support, she understands that she's going to lose the House. She's fully expecting it. She's fully expecting the House to go back into GOP control in 2020. But the way she looks at it is, hey, if I can get reelected and keep the socialist wing of the party happy, well, then I've still got a future in politics. But if I don't do that, my career is through. Now, what do we take from this? We take the fact that Nancy Pelosi is obviously more interested in her career than she is the rest of the country or what's good for the country. She's siding with socialism. Okay? That should tell you a lot right there. She is willing to sacrifice the good of the country and the party to allow this socialist uprising millennium movement in this country, instead of knowing well that this is a capitalist society. It always has been, and it's why we've been as successful as we have for over 250 years. So that is why Nancy Pelosi has made the choice to go against the country. Okay, so let's talk about process when it comes to this impeachment, right? Let's talk about Adam Schiff running an impeachment inquiry that was never voted on. Let's talk about how he's running this out of the basement of the Capitol in complete and utter secrecy, denying the president of due process, denying the Republicans from asking questions of witnesses. He's impeding their questioning. He's coaching witnesses. It's unbelievable what this guy is getting away with. At first, he wasn't even letting Republicans into these hearings, these depositions that he's taking, right? Why has Schiff even handling this in the first place? Let me tell you some facts about Schiff. Okay, first off, this impeachment inquiry was never authorized. Now, it may not be the law, but it is the precedent. It was authorized in the last three impeachments, or impeachment attempts, I should say, because Nixon, of course, was not impeached. But it was never authorized. Why is this sitting in the wrong committee? Why did Nancy Pelosi give this to the ultimate Trump hater, Adam Schiff? This should be with Nadler. But obviously, she views Nadler as weaker on this than she does Schiff. We already talked about the fact that this is a secret impeachment running in the basement. The Schiff situation with the whistleblower is just, if it doesn't reek of the fact that this is a complete and utter setup, even worse than Russia at this point, then I don't know what to tell you, because it's all there for you to see. And I'm going to get into that in a little bit here. Anyway, we know the president, like I said, he's getting no due process afforded to him. And as far as Schiff goes, as far as he's coaching witnesses, let me share with you a Sarah Carter report from October 31st. She goes on to say, she quotes Representative Devin Nunes, who is the ranking member of the Select Intel Committee. She quotes him to say, "I have never in my life seen anything like what happened today during the testimony of Lieutenant Colonel Alexander Vindman. It was unprecedented," continued Nunes. "I mean, they've been bad at most of these depositions, but to interrupt us continually to coach the witness to decide what we're going to ask the witness." He goes on to say, "And to see someone coach a witness, this isn't the first time that Schiff is very good at coaching witnesses." Nunes called the entire impeachment inquiry process under Schiff and House Speaker Nancy Pelosi unprecedented. And then lastly, he says, "When we asked," he's speaking about Colonel Vindman, "who he spoke to after important events in July, Adam Schiff says, 'No, no, no, we're not going to let him answer that question.'" Wow. This is witness tampering, obviously, right? They're saying that they're trying to protect the identity of the whistleblower. Why are we trying to do that in the first place? According to Adam Schiff, the whistleblower may not even need to testify at this point. His information is not being disclosed. President Trump has the right, under due process, to face his accuser, but he's not being given that right. So while we're on the subject of whistleblowers, let's talk about what's been trickling out of D.C. as far as whistleblowers go. There's been a couple of reports, and I'm going to cite some of the things in these reports, but we know who this whistleblower is. It's become ultimately obvious who it is. The whistleblower is none other than Eric Sciarmella. Now, people think that Vindman is the whistleblower. Vindman's not the whistleblower. It's not anybody else. It is, by far and away, Eric Sciarmella. Let me break this down and tell you exactly why we know this. Okay, so I think it's important to start with what we do know for a fact, okay? From the Intel community IG, that this so-called whistleblower is a registered Democrat with professional ties to a 2020 Democrat candidate, Joe Biden, and has some indicia of political bias. Now, this totally fits the description of Eric Sciarmella. What do we know about Eric Sciarmella? We know that he's worked with Joe Biden, John Brennan, and Susan Rice. John Brennan, right? Funny. Why does Brennan's name always seem to come up? The father of Russiagate, the one who is still out there talking smack on President Trump's tweets, who was nervous, sweating bullets a few weeks ago when he was talking on Meet the Press about John Durham wanting to interview him. I cannot wait for that. Hopefully that's coming soon. Anyway, back to Sciarmella. We know that he was appointed by Brennan to the National Security Council, White House detail, Okay, now this is nuts. Okay, I have a serious problem with this. I haven't even heard anybody else complaining about this, but I have a problem with this. He was dismissed from his White House post for negative leaks to the media regarding President Trump. The guy's leaking. Okay, he's leaking, and obviously, if they knew this about him, then he's caught, right? So what happened? Does he get investigated? Does he get charged? No, not at all. No, he just goes back to the CIA and Langley for another assignment. Really? That's what we get out of this? We have a known leaker in the White House now. Nothing happens. So, that's great. So now, we all know by now, I just mentioned earlier, that sleazy Adam Schiff lied on national TV when he said that he hadn't met with the whistleblower, right? Didn't know who he was, right? That's what he told us. Well, you're going to love this one. Now, sleazy Adam, he had recruited two people to work on his staff from the NSC. Their names are Abigail Grace and Sean Misko. What is interesting about Sean Misko? Let's go there, right? He started with Schiff on the exact same day as the whistleblower complaint. Now, why did these two matter, right? What significance do they play in all this? Well, that's easy. These two recruits were Eric Sciarmella's closest confidants at his NSC job. Just mind-blowing, right? He actually recruits these people. Convince me otherwise that Adam Schiff, the Sean Misko, and Eric Sciarmella, convince me that the three of these guys weren't sitting around a table crafting this whistleblower complaint. Go ahead and convince me. Try, because you're not going to. The three of them put this together. Now, Schiff has had it out for POTUS since day one, right? And this is just one big pre-planned setup. And that is why Nancy Pelosi put him in charge of the impeachment and not Nadler, because Schiff had the connection to the whistleblower. So all of this makes Adam Schiff what? Well, it makes him a material witness. So how the hell can he be prosecutor at the same time? Well, I can tell you why. Because this is a hoax, right? It's a hoax. There's no other word for it. You have a material witness that is prosecuting an impeachment against President Trump in the basement of the Capitol, not allowing Republicans to ask the questions they want to ask, trying to protect a whistleblower that he created. So, at the same time, Schiff and his basement impeachment continue to leak cherry-picked bits of information to damage the president. Have you noticed that? Like, every day you'll hear this witness said this, you know, and it's always negative against President Trump. Yeah, that's Schiff running to a microphone and having secret meetings with members of the media so that he can pass out this information to damage President Trump. This is all being done in an effort to keep you from voting for President Trump in 2020. They don't know where this impeachment's going to go. They do know it's not going to get through the Senate, right? But all of this is intended to make you vote for somebody other than President Trump. Like I said earlier, Schiff has shut down every GOP attempt to get at the truth. They can't ask questions about Eric Sciarmella. They actually tried asking questions. They went to ask, one particular example was, they asked Fiona Hill, okay? They asked her about Eric Sciarmella, and it was completely shut down by Schiff, right there automatically on the spot. And if that doesn't make you angry, if all this doesn't make you angry, it should make you angry to know that this person who is trying to single-handedly be the reason to undo the election of President Trump and to turn over our votes as Americans, well, he's also being protected at yours and my expense. He is actually have a 24/7 security detail by our DOJ, and we're paying for it. Isn't that great? But if nobody knows who this guy is, then why the hell does he need security? Just saying. Okay, so now, as if I even need to, right? But I'm going to go through and I'm going to discredit these key witnesses that the Intel Committee has been putting up and acting like every single one of them is going to be the end of President Trump, right? He just keeps calling people, all these different diplomats, okay? They're all swamp rats. They're all part of the DC swamp, all part of the deep state, Democrats or both. And, of course, we've all been wondering where the hell is the Senate in all this, right? Has anybody seen Lindsey Graham? Do we need to put him on a milk carton or something? Because he's been absolutely AWOL. Think about this. The House is under Democrat control, and we keep hearing these things like, well, you know, elections have consequences. The majority calls the shots, blah, blah, blah. So don't we have the majority in the Senate still? Isn't that still the case, or was there an election that I'm not aware of? Lindsey Graham sits on top of the Senate Judiciary Committee. He is one of the most powerful men in the world. He has subpoena power beyond comprehension. We've seen no testimonies. We've seen nothing. We've had empty threats from Lindsey Graham vowing to get to the bottom of this. He is going to use the power of his committee to get to the bottom of what is going on. He's done nothing. If he wanted to, he could absolutely run a parallel investigation to the House's. Since Republicans can't get any questions in because Schiff is shutting him down, because of the fact that they have no control over what witnesses are called, why isn't Lindsey Graham running a parallel investigation? When the House calls somebody to testify, bring that person into the Senate the next day. I mean, is that really crazy, or would that be totally sufficient in order to back up and protect the President of the United States, who's being so wrongfully treated? He could bring them into the Senate Intel Committee, or I'm sorry, Senate Judiciary Committee, and there's no Adam Schiff there to say, well, you can't ask him this, you can't ask him that. We could get to the truth of these issues very simply. So then we find out that Lindsey Graham will not be the chairman next time around, that it will be Chuck Grassley. So why did that happen? I mean, there could be absolutely nothing to that. That could be a nothing burger, but it does strike me as curious, as after all this inactivity from Lindsey Graham, now all of a sudden he's stepping down from chairman. Anyway, let me get back to these witnesses, okay? And again, another misnomer with the left. And being a veteran myself, I do take this kind of personally. The left would have you believe that any veteran is off limits. You cannot impugn a veteran of the armed forces, right? When we're talking about this Alexander Vindman, for example, this lieutenant colonel who has testified with quote-unquote firsthand knowledge of the phone call, don't we all have firsthand knowledge of the phone call by now? I mean, President Trump keeps tweeting out, read the transcript. Isn't that right? We all have firsthand knowledge, but apparently this guy has something better to say. Anyway, what I was getting to is they won't let you impugn this man's reputation, or you can't say anything about this guy, despite what he's done or said in his career. But where the hell were all these people when they were tearing down and ruining General Flynn's family and life? Where were all these people when Hillary Clinton called Tulsi Gabbard a Russian agent? You see, again, it only works when it's to the benefit of the left, okay? You can't impugn a leftist veteran. They don't care about the rest of us. They only care about the ones that are serving them and the ones that are serving them immediately. So what I want to share with you is something that, because I'm sorry, I don't function under the Democrats' philosophy. When they say don't impugn somebody, that doesn't really fly for me. So I want to share with you something I found on Twitter that is really eye-opening. There is a non-verified account on Twitter, and it belongs to somebody who goes by the name of Lieutenant Colonel, LTC, Jim Hickman. Now, on the 1st of November, Lieutenant Colonel Hickman posted this tweet. It's kind of long. It's a thread, okay? But I'm going to read this to you because I think this is so material to the situation that everybody needs to hear this. It says the following. It says, I know Lieutenant Colonel Alex Vindman from a combined U.S.-Russian exercise called Atlas Vision 12 in Grafenwöhr, Germany. He worked with the Russian embassy, and I was assigned to the JMTC, which is Joint Multinational Training Command, within U.S. Army Europe. He worked coordination with the Russian 15th Peacekeeping Brigade, and I was in charge of all simultaneous planning as well as assisting the U.S. Army Europe lead planner as the senior military planner. The following account of Lieutenant Colonel Vindman's words and actions are completely accurate to the best of my recollection and have been corroborated by others. We interacted on several different occasions throughout the planned cycle, but it wasn't during the actual execution of the exercise that we had an issue relevant to his recent testimony. As stated earlier, Atlas Vision 12 was conducted at JMTC in the VBS-2, which is Virtual Battle Simulations 2, classrooms for simulation. Vindman, who was a major at the time, was sitting in one of the classrooms talking to the U.S. and Russian soldiers, as well as the young officers and GS employees about America, Russia, and Obama. He was apologetic of American culture, laughed about Americans not being educated or worldly, and really talked up Obama and globalism to the point of uncomfortable. He would speak with the Russian soldiers and laugh, as at the expense of U.S. personnel. It was so uncomfortable and unprofessional, one of the GS employees came and told me everything above. I walked over and I sat within earshot of Vindman, and sure enough, all was confirmed. One comment truly struck me as odd, and it was with respect to America's false thinking that they're exceptional, when he said he, Obama, is working on that now. And he said it with a snide, "I know a secret" look on his face. I honestly don't know what he meant by it. It just sounded like an odd thing to say. Regardless, after hearing him bash America a few times in front of subordinates, Russians, and GS employees, as well as hearing an earful about globalization, Obama's plans, etc., I'd had enough. I tapped him on the shoulder and I asked him to step outside. At that point, I verbally reprimanded him for his actions, and I'll leave it at that so as not to sound unprofessional myself. The bottom line is Lieutenant Colonel Vindman was a partisan Democrat at least as far back as 2012. So much so, junior officers and soldiers felt uncomfortable to be around him. This is not your professional field grade officer who has the character and integrity to do the right thing. Do not let the uniform fool you. He's a political activist in uniform. I pray our nation will drop this hate, vitriol, and division and unite as our founding fathers intended. Well, good Lord. Isn't that amazing? Now, this unimpugnable soldier who shows up in his dress blue military uniform, okay, to testify before Congress. Now, little secret, NSC doesn't wear uniforms, ever. They don't wear them. They testify in suit and ties. They go to work in suit and ties. They don't wear their uniforms. That being said, I want to tell you a little bit more about the things that have been in the media about this Alexander Vindman. Now, bear in mind, this is Adam Schiff's star witness. This guy has firsthand knowledge, right? As if we don't all have firsthand knowledge, right? Anyway. So, I want to point you to an article. I'm going to leave some links in the description for this podcast, okay? So you guys can take a look at these things yourself. But I want to point out some very good reporting once again. This particular article I'm looking at is by Joe Hoft, and he's with Gateway Pundit. The title of this article, and I'm not going to read it to you, but I want to just hit some of the high points here, okay? It says, lying Schiff star witness Alexander Vindman tied to Ukrainian arms dealers, Ukrainian oil and gas, and the Atlantic Council. On the first page, it says, during questioning on Tuesday, Colonel Vindman admitted he shared the readouts of President Trump's call with the Ukrainian President Zelensky with several other secret operatives. Vindman also admitted during testimony that he tampered with and tried but failed to alter the transcript of President Trump's call to the Ukrainian president. Am I the only one that has a problem with this? I mean, seriously, this guy of unimpugnable character, he admits that he shared the call, and he admits that he tried to alter it. So why isn't he in jail? Anybody ever heard of 18 U.S.C. 798? Dissemination of classified information? I know Hillary Clinton's heard of it. It's also the same thing she was guilty of. But, of course, she wasn't guilty, right? Sure. So anyway, this article goes on to talk about he has ties to Michael McFaul. He is Obama's former Russian ambassador, okay? And McFaul was one of the first people to attack on President Trump's attorney, Rudy Giuliani, for investigating Ukrainian corruption. So that's very telling in and of itself, I would say. And in addition to that, this is where it gets interesting, okay? Now, I will read you this paragraph. Vindman is also connected to Glenn Simpson. We've heard that name before. Vindman was in Eurasia, specializing in Russian affairs at the same region as Glenn Simpson, who was also specializing in Russian affairs, was also there, as well as Christopher Steele, who was also specializing in Russian affairs at the time. And this was all stuff that was uncovered by Trey Gowdy when he gathered Simpson's testimony in front of Congress. So, great. This guy has ties to Glenn Simpson and Christopher Steele, the people who are responsible for the false and salacious Russian dossier attempt to oust the president. But here's where it gets interesting, okay? And make of this what you will, all right? I'm not an expert in FARA, but this is interesting. Yorktown Solutions is a lobbying firm that represents some questionable Ukrainian arms companies and also Ukrainian oil and gas. They're interested in undermining the Nord Stream 2 project. Look that up. I don't know what the Nord Stream 2 project is, but it's not relevant to what we're talking about. Yorktown Solutions lists Alexander Vindman in its FARA finding. FARA. So that's kind of interesting. But again, this person is unimpugnable. You cannot impugn the integrity of a military veteran as long as they're testifying for the left. This guy needs to sit down in front of a Senate committee. I guarantee you something is going to come out of all of this. You know, we're very quick to remember, we're very quick to call the media fake. And most of the times they are, okay? But we've got to look at it objectively from both sides, too. So this is, for what it's worth, it's stuff that we're picking out of the media. I would say that these are definitely things that obviously need to be looked into. Okay, lastly, I want to talk about the testimony before this one of Vindman that was absolutely going to do the president in. Now, who are we talking about? We are talking about Bill Taylor, right? His testimony. But there's only one problem. On October 31st, Tim Morrison testified. So, who's Tim Morrison? Well, he is the NSC Senior Director for European Affairs. Now, he had some very interesting things to say, because not only did he give a glowing review of President Trump's phone call, he discredited some people along the way. Tim Morrison said, quote, "I want to be clear. I was not concerned that anything illegal was discussed." And he's referring to President Trump's phone call, of course. Morrison testified that Ukrainian officials were not even aware certain military funding had been delayed by the Trump administration. He later goes on to say that the Ukrainians hadn't even had any idea that funding had been held up until August 28th. So a full month later is when they found out. Obviously, there couldn't be a quid pro quo on the phone call if, in fact, they didn't even know about it. Isn't a requirement of a quid pro quo is that the one side knows what the other side is doing, I would think? So he goes on to point out some key factual inaccuracies in William Taylor's testimony. Now, I told you he discredits Taylor here. Morrison said that contrary to Taylor's claims, Morrison never met with the Ukrainian National Security Advisor in his private hotel room. Taylor falsely claimed that Ambassador Gordon Sondland demanded a public statement from the Ukrainian president committing to investigate Burisma. Now, he went on to say, and I quote, "My recollection is that Ambassador Sondland's proposal to," and he's talking about the Ukrainian National Security Advisor Andrei Yermak, Yermak was that it could be sufficient if the new Ukrainian prosecutor general, not President Zelensky, would commit to pursue the Burisma investigation. So, there you have it. Morrison said that the transcript of the phone call, quote, accurately and completely reflects the substance of the call. So I don't think Adam Schiff intended for this testimony to go this way, would you? Definitely didn't want us to know about it. All this time, Democrats have been hanging their hat that this call is going to be what removes President Trump from office. But Tim Morrison went on to say that national security process worked as designed in this case. And he said, to end this conversation, he said, I am pleased our process gave the president the confidence he needed to approve the release of the security sector assistance. I am proud of what I have been able, in some small way, to help the Trump administration accomplish. So we learn from this that, you know, President Trump is not surrounded by complete idiots all the time. All right. He does have some good people that are working for him. And this Tim Morrison is an example of that. But the problem that we probably have, no, I'm not going to say probably, I'm going to say the problem that we definitely have here. If President Trump made one mistake, it was not walking in there and cleaning house of every Obama holdover that was around when he took office in January of 2017. These people are coming back to cause him so much grief. And slowly but surely, the truth comes out, and we find out the truth about these people. We find out that they're either tied to being Democrats, either being a Democrat or tied to Democrats, the deep state, or both. And that's what this comes down to. Now, in closing, I want to remind you of something, because I'm sure you know this, all right? But this is something to remember. As evil as Democrats are, Democrats aren't even truly the problem here. The Intel committees ran a game on the United States thinking that Hillary Clinton was going to get elected and all their misdeeds would never come to light. Then all of a sudden, America rejects Hillary Clinton and elects Donald Trump, and the next day, they are in full-blown panic. So one action leads to another, and they're constantly trying to cover up what they did. This coup, this attempted removal of the man that you and I put into office in our republic, is trying to be undone by the intel agencies, the alphabet community. They are the ones responsible for this. The Democrats are just basically their henchmen. They're the ones that can attempt to remove this president from office. They're the ones that have already attempted to completely and totally discredit AG Barr. They're even calling Durham a hack now. John Durham, who has a record for working for Democrat presidents and Republican presidents, a straight shooter right down the middle, you know, they're even trying to discredit him at this point. And the Democrats have the advantage of the sycophant media to help them out. They are definitely on the side of the corrupt. So my point is, don't fall for any of this. This is all smoke and mirrors. Are they going to impeach the president? Is the House going to impeach the president? More than likely. That's a fact we have to live with. But there is no way the Senate is going to convict this president. He will not be removed from office. So they better just get used to another 5 years of President Trump. And then in 2024, whoever we elect again. Because my guess is when this is all said and done, the Democrats running on socialism and infanticide and open borders. This is not what America wants. This is what the United States of California wants. Maybe the United States of New York wants. But this is not what middle America wants. So this next election will be capitalism versus socialism, freedom versus the system that every time has been implemented in the world has outright duly failed. So keep that in mind. Guys, it has been wonderful getting a chance to put my views out for you to hear. And I can't thank you enough for coming and listening to me blabber on about politics and all these wonderful games that they play in D.C. I am going to go to a bi-weekly rotation now. So we will have another show for you in 2 weeks. Again, it'll be on a Monday. And we're going to keep it on a 2 week rotation for the time being. So remember, please give me a follow on Twitter at ProudOIFVet. If you already have, I am so thankful. Check out my new Facebook page, The Chaos Reduction. We went ahead and redesigned a new one because Facebook didn't find it priority to change the name of my old page for me because, of course, I'm a conservative. So we had to start a new page. But we're still on YouTube at the Chaos Reduction, and we're also on the other media platforms as the same, Parler, Instagram, same names. So, once again, I thank you guys so much. You have been listening to The Chaos Reduction with Jay. And until we meet again, take good care of each other.